This was originally written for the Anti-Politics Substack. This is Barking at the Headlines from 28th of September, 2021. Don't ask questions. Just consume a headline, then get angry at the next headline. Why does the dog bark at the postman? Is it fear? Excitement? It seems like an odd question to ask in an article about news headlines, but bear with me. The dog barks at the postman because, through years of conditioning, he believes that doing so is what makes him go away. He believes his display of fury has warded off the invader, and his home is now safe. As outside observers, and bipeds cursed with self-awareness, we are aware the postman has simply more post to deliver, and that he will continue his routine of coming and going, barking or no barking. The dog, being a quadruped blessed with ignorance, is not aware of this, hence the vociferous woofs. But what, pray tell, does this have to do with the news cycle? Well, the same self-congratulation the dog might indulge in after his illusory victory over the postman is exactly what we experience when we shake our fists at the latest silly or woke headline. Thousands of people get all riled up on social media, YouTube videos are made talking about how woke feed has utterly been destroyed with facts and logic this time. Mission accomplished, lads. We gave that think piece a good kicking. It makes us all feel good. It makes us feel like we're doing something, when in reality, we're just barking at the headlines. I've already spoken at length how leftist activism is supposed to make you angry in my previous piece, Permissible Activism, and how the phenomenon of pure reaction serves to resign you to the sandbox of the establishment's own talking points. The phenomenon of the online counter-headline has become the main vector of reaction by which those who posit themselves as the enemy of the establishment choose to attack it, but simply pointing out the propaganda misunderstands its purpose. In Propaganda, the Formation of Men's Attitudes, the philosopher and sociologist Jacques Ellul identifies many different types of propaganda, but important amongst them is agitation and integration propaganda. Put simply, agitation propaganda is designed to create or capitalize on periods of strife and crisis, to stir the populace to action against a perceived enemy in aid of drastic change. It is the brazen kind of propaganda, the kind meant to stir people up and overcome their usual patterns of thought and action for a limited but frenetic period of time. Integration propaganda aims to establish what has been agitated towards as the new normal, and provides breathing room between periods of agitation. Ellul explains the purpose of integration propaganda, noting this type of propaganda only really came to prevalence in the 20th century. To quote, "In Western society, it is no longer sufficient to obtain a transitory political act, such as a vote. One needs total adherence to a society's truths and behavioural patterns. As the more perfectly uniform the society, the stronger its power and effectiveness. Each member should be only an organ and functional fragment of it, perfectly adapted and integrated. He must share the stereotypes, beliefs, and reactions of the group. He must be an active participant in its economic, ethical, aesthetic, and political doings." End quote. Integration and agitation naturally move in cycles. All those who are in power seek to create change advantageous to them, and then reinforce the change as the status quo. The maintenance of modern social democracy, or liberal democracy, requires these cycles of agitation and integration in much the same way as a Soviet state or a fascist state. There is a popular quote by Theodor Dampel that puts it thus, to quote, "Political correctness is communist propaganda writ small. In my study of communist societies, I came to the conclusion that the purpose of communist propaganda was not to persuade or convince, not to inform, but to humiliate, and therefore, the less it corresponded to reality, the better. When people are forced to remain silent when they are being told the most obvious lies, or even worse, when they are being forced to repeat the lies themselves, they lose, once and for all, their sense of probity. To assent to obvious lies is in some small way to become evil oneself. One's standing to resist anything is thus eroded, and even destroyed. A society of emasculated liars is easily controlled. I think if you examine political correctness, it has the same effect and is intended to." End quote. The ability to humiliate in this manner requires a tight hegemony. The headlines aren't getting more PC because the SJWs are taking over. The agitation is getting more extreme because it serves the interests of an elite class who have long since already won. The use of woke language, the insistence that previously fringe practices are established social norms, and the repetition of mantras that fit the zeitgeist of the established political order are all meant to integrate those who already buy into the system and in turn agitate them to action against those who do not. Conversely, this propaganda is meant to alienate those who feel themselves outside of the current system and agitate them to action that serves to reinforce their distinction as the enemy. Within the parameters of this dialectic, pointing out the propaganda simply fulfills your part of the equation. To parrot the establishment talking points with incredulity, but to be powerless to do anything about them, is the aforementioned act of impotent fist-shaking, an act of humiliation. It only serves to demonstrate the power their narrative has, whilst also serving to further disseminate it. Those in online circles would do well to remember how the Streisand effect works. When the establishment want to counter a piece of information they find damaging, they censor it from view, then simply pretend it doesn't exist. Censorship is only done in an outward and brazen fashion when it is meant to serve as a show of force and a warning to other dissenters, amplifying these cases without a counter use of force whilst it again serves the interests of those in power. To put it even more simply, the propaganda puts forth the message, you are our enemy and you are being humiliated, and the reaction to it simply repeats, we are your enemy and we are being humiliated. This toothless stagnation persists because it's profitable. They function as reaction channels. But instead of 11-year-olds looking at 90s toys, it's online news cycle. Simply pick up a BuzzFeed article and go. No insight needed. The realities of power, force, and propaganda discussed here do not factor into the prevailing narrative in the supposed rational center or anti-woke right. Worse still, the profligate talking heads are fiercely defensive of their headline barking as they feed from the trough of this style of content. Seeing public discussions around the use of force against the power structure as a threat to their income. For the headline readers, the terms of service are king. They exist in a middle ground where they trade on anti-establishment credibility, but dare not risk anything that might effectively challenge the power structure, perpetually shifting with the far edge of the terms of service Overton window. Even subjects as tepid as the 2020 US election are still verboten, lest the powers that be remove them from their livelihoods. They debase themselves as the house Negroes of big tech, shucking and jiving in hopes they can remain unbanned for the next round of AdSense payouts. If owning the SJWs online and owning the woke people was effective, it wouldn't be allowed. The same logic goes for things like cryptocurrency or any form of online surrogate activism. What most in the right online debatosphere want is to move from the agitation phase into a more comfortable integration phase, in which they can gain some token crumbs from the political class to bring to their audience and hang out big mission accomplished banners. Calls to or discussion of action, which may be effective, are met with performative disavowals and accusations of radicalism or extremism. They resort to the same enforcement of social norms that they decry in the media they criticize. They are, in effect, functioning as the agents of the system, and the last line of integration propaganda, pleading with you not to turn against the system in its totality. But why wouldn't they? You can't criticize a system once it has been destroyed. You can't make tepid YouTube videos during a revolution. You can't complain about election results if there are no elections. Once a nation or region enters a period of strife, concern over online media are no longer meaningful, and demand for debunking feminists falls to nil. Their financial future is dependent on the existence of the very systems they purport to disdain, and if meaningfully threatened, they will fiercely defend them. This is an attribute they share with the online talking heads of the left. A full-on violent Marxist revolution would certainly involve the execution of well-paid online activists, but within leftist circles, those same activists at least purport to want this revolution. Its explicit and implicit threat serving as the basis for ever leftward compromise within the limits of established norms. The solution to this problem is simple. stop doing it. If you regard yourself as an agent of effective change, study and disseminate ideas you feel deal with the universal concepts of power and control, not transient issues that are thrust into the public eye deliberately to soak up political energy. You can just tune out clown world and build yourself inwards. Find ways to cut yourselves off, strand by strand, from the narratives of the elite and create within yourself a bastion of belief that you can share with your fellow man. Be an agent of real-life change, not an online megaphone for the latest slideshow of modernity. Our current system and those who preside over it are evil and must be destroyed if we are to see any level of change. Unwillingness to state this basic fact, without caveat, marks out the supposed dissident thought leader as useless and still subsumed within the system as its agent, no matter how loudly he barks at the headlines. Once again, guys, thank you for listening to these. I'll be doing these slowly over the next weeks. There's quite a lot on our Substack, so if you do want to check out the Anti-Politics Substack, do so. Again, this is from September 2021. Some of the references are kind of dated now, since it seems people have decided that the feminists are now actually their friends. But I think the point still stands that it didn't work then, and it's not going to work now, simply complaining over news stories. But anyway, there are links down below if you want to check out the original version of this, or if you want to donate to support our work. You can do so via the Ko-fi link or via the Substack itself by subscribing. I'll see you guys later, and have a good evening.